Let's just jump right in here. Let's go to number 622. Thank you, Lord. All right. We welcome the internet audience. We're talking about the favor of his face. And we're talking about how we're living now with the Father, how we're living with God. And I want to show you some things. I'm going to say some things that if you'll really listen to this, your life's going to get way, way better. Number 622, it'll challenge you, but you can do it. The Lord said to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way that you will bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. Now, this is something we sing that song. I think Jesse sang it Sunday, seems like. And we call Jesse healed in the name of Jesus. You know, Jesse's always here, always going, so we know if she must have really needed a rest to call in because she's so faithful and we're so grateful for her. And she's missing her birthday cake tonight. But Jess, if you're watching, I'll take care of that for you. Glory to God. But you know, anybody remember Robert Shuler? Yes. Faith. He always said this at the end of his preaching. He always said that. So, but this is what God told Moses to say over Israel. So what's he doing? What's he really doing? Well, he's wanting to put the same mark on the nation that he actually put on Israel, as in Jacob Israel, the man Israel. He's wanting to do the same thing. You remember Jacob is the first person to get a revelation of an encounter with the face of God. And he called it Peniel. He said, I've been face to face with God. Remember that? Talks about that. I'm face to face with God. He called it Peniel. I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved, he said. So you remember the wrestle and all that different. Okay. So we don't have time for all that, but you remember. And then Moses is the one who spoke about the face. And what we see with Moses is his face was shiny because he and God would get together. And so Moses has this shiny face. Exodus 33:11, you don't have to look it up, I'll just read it to you, says, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Face to face. Now this is what I want us to discover, church. God is and has been on a quest to have face to face intimacy with his people. So what he's looking for. He had it with Adam. They lost it. He started over. And we see him reaching out to men and giving them invitation to come closer to him. We see that over and over. You remember that the word said that Israel knew his acts, but Moses knew his ways. So there's a closer place to be. Now, you see that when you walk through the word, and you see it real clearly with Abraham. But listen, now I want to say this to you. Just catch this. Perceiving God's invitation to us through the scriptures, particularly in the history of Israel, is not something everybody does automatically. Some people do not perceive what the scriptures are showing us. They're like, oh, that's a story. And they're not picking up everything that's in there. Are you with me? They're not getting the full meal deal here. They're not seeing all of it. Perceiving God's invitation to us through the scriptures, particularly in the history of Israel, is not something everyone does automatically. So let's just look a little so that we can perceive what God is calling us to do. You can see the positive and the negative lessons when it comes to Israel in the scriptures, in their story. And what we actually see is how to respond and how not to respond. Amen. Now I'm going to make a statement to you and then we'll fill in the blanks as we go here. The process of perceiving and coming into agreement with God's perception is called repentance. Now walk with me and you'll see where I'm going. It's called repentance. Now, I know that we associate that with being sorry for our sins, right? And that's mostly what you've heard all your life, being sorry for your sins. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's appropriate. Godly sorrow over sins leads to repentance. That's Bible. But being sorry is not repentance. And that's where the issue comes in. We repent when our sorrow over sin leads us to a place where we receive power from God to change the way we think. Amen. Come on. So it's not this, Lord, I opened my big mouth. I apologize. It's not repentance. Well, why are we even talking about repentance? We're grace people. Well, when you're in relationship with someone and you love them, sometimes you have to ask them to forgive you. It's about fellowship. It's not about the love. I love you. I'm not going to stop loving you if you do something, but it could keep the fellowship a little stronger if you said you were sorry. Well, I shouldn't say you're sorry, but ask you to forgive. We'll try to stay on our right confession here. And I do know, church, I was raised in the grace camp too, and I do understand, you know, what people say about 1 John and all that. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And my pastor in particular taught us that when you get to there, that's when you say, I'm the righteousness of God. And I agree with that. However, I look at those phrases as talking about staying in fellowship with God, not losing my salvation, but staying in an open communication with Him. Okay? And I believe Pastor would agree with that. So, I want to say that statement to you one more time and make sure everybody got it. I think I'll read it real slow. We repent when our sorrow over sin leads us to a place where we receive power from God to change the way we think. Okay? So we may be able to change what we think about. We may be able to change what we think about. But only God can give us a new perspective on reality. He's the only one that can really change your perception. You have to get some truth from the Holy Spirit, out of the Word of God, and your perception. Remember when your perception changed and you found out God wasn't killing people? Yeah. And that trouble wasn't the teacher of the church? And see, people still believe that. But when God comes on the scene and you let go of those traditions, you go, well, wait a minute, he's not doing it. Now, he'll sure use it sometimes, but he's not doing it. So, For instance, God can build a paradigm or a model in our thinking in which we live for and from a relationship with Him instead of religious motions. He's got to build that. Now, how long did we do it? And how long have you seen people do it where serving God is just religious? It's just motions in a church. We will go, we'll show up. We're on the cleaning committee or we're on that. But that's it. Yes. That's all there is to it. You are quiet, but I know you're thinking. Yeah. So, but God can build this model in our thinking if we'll let Him. And we go into a relationship with Him instead of these motions and just being content knowing about Him. You don't want to just know about Him. Are so what if you can quote 200 scriptures if you don't know Him? Lots of religious people can quote scripture, but how are they acting? I had a guy say that to us one time about the church. He says, well, your people don't even quote scripture. I'm low. They're acting scripture though. And yes, they can quote it. No. But But you know, I mean, I just don't walk up to you and say, Art, for God so loved the world. You know, I mean, when you're fellowshipping with people, you usually, you know, just don't go, hi, Debbie. Now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, you just, I mean, you know, you're just fellowshipping with people, but you walk in the light. So there's just this religious thing. Now, I believe in meditation, and I believe in memorizing scripture. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying that this is something that you know, we need to make sure we're just not in the motion of this. Well, you know, I've gone to church for 30 years, so I'm good. Well, no, that doesn't mean anything. Well, it means that you go to church and you may be saved, but anyway, moving right along. But you see this, right? So repent would be more change your thinking, change your perception, or change systems. Okay? All right. So now I have to say one more thing and then we'll move on. When God speaks to you, He releases grace to enable you to accomplish what He just said. If you get a word from the Lord, a word out of the Word, or a prophetic word, God at that moment is releasing the grace for that very thing to come to pass in your life. How many people just miss that? They just religiously go, I got a word today. I sure hope it comes true. As if we're fortune tellers. That's not how it works. A prophecy is God enabling you to do what He would like for you to do. And you could resist it if you want to. And you will resist it if you just hope. Same thing with the word. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich and He adds no toil to it. Well, I sure hope so. Well, that doesn't do you any good. You see where I'm going? The ability is there. If He says it to you, then the grace is there to get it. Amen. Our job is to appropriate that grace through trusting what He said and then stepping out in radical obedience. Just going, okay, yes, Lord, we'll just do this. Amen. And what happens then is that we're headed toward total dependence on God and we'll follow His commands. We'll be obedient to Him. We'll get into His perspective. We'll understand. For example, here's what we understand. So we're prosperity people, right? And people are like, they're just talking about money. But those people see us religiously. They don't understand why we want to be blessed. But if you'll dig down into it, you'll find out why we want to be blessed. Not just so we can spend it on ourselves. We want to be a blessing. Amen. So we're not just, and we want to fulfill the covenant. And if you have some finances, you can destroy the works of the devil. Praise the Lord. Right now, David Barton's group need money to bring people out of Afghanistan. And if you had some money, you could help. There are Jewish people trying to come home, and you had some money and you helped. Amen. And all the ministries, which are many, that we give to, they make it around the world because of their partners. This is big to me. This is who I want to be. Not just because I want to, you know, buy some more leopard shoes. Praise the Lord. I know it is to you too. So now the invitation to come closer to God. And we talked about friendship. Remember, we talked about friendship, partnership, fellowship on Sunday. It has everything to do with favor. This face-to-face thing, we're talking about favor, church. We're talking about favor here. And you can see the favor, the history of favor, if you look at the patriarchs. So for Abraham, for instance, There are two things to notice about the favor that God gave Abraham. Number one is favor had a place to land in Abraham's life because of faith. Okay? Because he had faith. And so we can see his faith in God because of his radical obedience. Because here's a guy that's told to leave his country, but he didn't tell him where he was going. That's pretty big. He just made it clear that you're going to leave, you're going to go, and you will fulfill your assignment. And so by faith, Abraham, he did it. And you know, church, this is what we understand. A lot of times God only gives us guidance that we need for the moment. And that's because it keeps us closer to him. You get what you need, and then you move with him. And then you get what you need, and you move with him. And then he shows you something else, and you move with him. That way you stay close to him, and you just don't run off. Bye-bye, Jesus. You stay right there with him. Amen. So that helps us learn this all-important lesson that I've been trying to get over to everybody for about 6 years now here. And that is having total dependence on Father. It's having total dependence on God. And this lesson is a lesson that every single person marked by favor needs to learn. If you're marked by favor, then you need to learn to depend on him. If you're marked by favor, you need to learn to depend on him. And then the second thing is that to notice about God's favor is that if he's showing you favor, it's because he has a specific assignment for you. There's a specific assignment if favor is showing up. He's got something that he wants you to do. Favor always goes with an assignment. In Abraham's case, it was to build a nation. He started with favor that would extend to generations, and it's still working. Think about the favor was still there by the time we get to Joseph. And then the favor goes even further when you get to Moses then. And then Joshua and so on and so on. You keep seeing this favor, but you also keep seeing assignments. So, this is not a mama whipping, but I'll just say if you don't sense a lot of favor, maybe you might want to go back and look at what God asked you to do. Moving right along. Praise you, Jesus. Divine favor causes you to rise to the top of your sphere of influence. This is what you're looking for. And it's totally possible. It's totally possible to get there. So now, when we look at Moses, we also see another effect of God's favor on us. And this is real. This is undeniable that you see this. Favor has a way of provoking those who don't have it. It does. Of course, we don't want to, that cause us to stop pursuing favor. We absolutely want it because God's made it available to us. But we just go ahead, we pursue what we were created for, have the glory, the intimacy with God. And what happens is, here's something that you have to perceive and really get a picture of. When you're walking in your favor and you rub somebody, a regime, or it rubs something, someone, God ends up with the perfect conditions to rise up and judge his enemies. He that hath an ear, let him hear. It's perfect. Absolutely perfect. He has that opportunity. So it's doing you all the good. And then it's also used to bring about the correct and right judgment. Judgment isn't always bad, but it'll bring about the right judgment. Remember that God prophesied to Abraham, he said, that his people would go into captivity. And then he would send a deliverer, right? So what happened? Well, Abraham walked in favor, and then down some generations, once again, we saw Joseph's favor, and then we see that the Egyptians had the wrong response to the objects of God's favor. Did he? He did. They did. They didn't like it. Oh, and let me just say this. We can back up. We could say, you see it with Cain and Abel? You see it with Satan and Job? You see it with Jacob and Esau? You see it with David and Saul? And you see it with Christ and the Pharisees? They did not like that favor on Jesus. So not everyone's going to approve of this favor, but it'll set up to judge evil. And there's favor on the church right now. We want to worship our God. And just like Israel, Israel and Egypt, there was a conflict. And there's a conflict right now with darkness and the church of the living God. They don't like it. Evil doesn't like it. When Moses, by the way, he found favor a couple days after he was born, because they were killing baby boys. So he immediately found favor. Why? He had an assignment. And so he finds this. But when he told Pharaoh to let his people go, that was a big rub. And it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It's kind of a bad King James translation. What happened was favor rubbed Pharaoh. God rubbed him. And he just got even harder about it. Because sometimes goodness does that to darkness. It'll make them. Yeah, y'all get that. Amen. So what we see is, you remember that Moses says, we need to be let go because we need to go worship our God. And Pharaoh says, well, just do it here. Remember that? Just worship in the land. Because the devil doesn't mind worshiping if it doesn't require change. And if they stayed in the land, there would be legal access to influence and spoil their efforts. I hope you just heard that. If they stayed in the land, there would be legal access to try to spoil their efforts. So there had to be a change, right? So he goes to him again. He says, we don't accept those terms. And he says, okay, well, you can go out, but don't go far. Still an effort to control. Well, we're going to let y'all go ahead and meet. So they're making progress. But then he says this. He says, y'all can go, but leave the flocks and herds. In other words, we're going to keep the finances. You see that? You see the progression there? It's rubbing him. Everything that's going on is rubbing him. But he's going to find a way. The darkness will try to find a way to stay in there. And of course, that absolutely doesn't work. So you get that, right? You see where I'm going? So that's another thing that favor will actually do. The story of the Red Sea, of Moses and Israel coming out of Egypt, it's probably the most popular and the best truth story in the Bible aside from Jesus raising from the dead. And with the Jewish people, it's the most popular. Even all the times they went into exile, they look back to Moses as the big deal. Father Abraham, yes. And then Moses taking them out. This is really big to them. And what's interesting about it is a whole nation suddenly got up and walked out of the nation. A whole nation got up. I said a whole nation got up. Now, we ain't leaving because this is ours. But when we stand up and say who we are, well, you're just being political. I'm not being political at all. I'm being a son of the living God that knows that we have authority in this earth and we know what freedom means. There's a difference. I'm talking about your freedom so that you can vote the way you want to, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, get a vax, don't get a vax, take care of your own children. Whatever it is that you believe in, we need the freedom to get to do it. And a whole nation can stand up and move us out of the bondage. And that's not really my message. I really want to be personal about this. But, you know, after they walked out, many of them fell in the wilderness. And they out there for 40 years because they had a failure to allow God to retrain their thinking. They had that slavish mentality. And they need to learn to have a different mentality. But they didn't do it. They were still, well, we like the leeks. We like this. Well, we're already tired of that cereal falling from the sky. And blah, 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 blah. And so they didn't want to retrain their thinking. Are you getting what I'm trying to tell you? You know what I'm trying to tell you? The Bible says that they were out when Joshua began to talk to them and say, you've been moved out of Egypt, but now we need to get Egypt out of you. He said it would remove the reproach. I'm telling you that's where we are. Amen. We need to get religion out. Jesus' first instruction was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Change systems. This is all what we long for. But religion is the opposite from the kingdom of God. It creates appetites that cannot fulfill. It carries a value of form without power, information without experience. It can tell you how bad you are, but it can't help you change. And if all you're looking for is a little slap band-aid up here, we'll tell you how bad you are. And you go, sorry, Lord. And then you just go on your way. But what we want is when something happens or we know that we've messed up, then Lord, help me, train me. Change my thinking so I won't behave like this. Well, you know, you went out last night and did whatever you did, and now you're sorry for it because you feel bad or you got a hangover or whatever. I'm just making up something, okay? No, nothing about y'all, okay? But you feel really bad about what you're doing and everything, and you just go, well, sorry, Lord, but I'll be back out there again on Friday. See, that doesn't help you move forward. Are we going to start? And I know that's an extreme thing even to be talking about here, but, I mean, they're little things. There are ways that we treat people that we need to change. Yeah. Yeah. And we're gonna do that. We're gonna be able to walk in love if we are able to allow God to retrain our thinking. It's not about just keeping being sorry and then go, grace. That isn't grace anyway, that's mercy. Okay, so it's an artificial substitute to live like that. Okay. And many Christians repent enough to get forgiven, but not enough to see the kingdom. We want to see the kingdom. So this is the fundamental difference between the authentic Christianity and religion. Knowing God and being known by God. That's the difference. No, not knowing scripture, of course that's way part of it, but not just knowing scripture, not just coming to church, not just serving at church, and are knowing about God. Knowing God and Him knowing you. That's real, authentic Christianity. Matthew 7:23 says, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you." Now, this is an interesting statement because some people will say, well, you know, God knows me. He knows me. But knowing about someone is different than knowing someone. Okay? Now, I'm just going to tell you. There's a lot of Christians in this world, and God knows about them. And he knows every hair on their head, and he knows the number of every hair on their head, but he may not know them. This is true. I know about Donald Trump, but I don't know him. I'd have to spend some time with him to know him. Once again, God knows everything about you. You know a lot of things about God, but do you know him? And I want to say this to you. In order for God to know you, you're going to have to give him access to the secret places of your heart. Good, bad, and ugly. Now, Lord, you know. You can see, and I'm telling you, this is what I need to work on. This is what I need help on. Is this good? This is just the truth. I mean, and then he'll get in there with you. See, relationships are built on trust, communication, common interest, honesty, and time together. It's no different in knowing God and him knowing you. Works both ways. So as we close, I want to ask you this question. Do you stop at confession and asking for... Let me back up and say it like this. When you experience a conviction that you messed up, okay, you're like, man, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I was acting proud, or I was absorbed in myself, or I cheated, or I did this, or whatever it is, on whatever level that you're dealing with. When you experience that, how do you typically respond? Do you stop at confession and ask him for forgiveness? Or do you pursue God's power and revelation to change the way you think? Do you realize how many things you can be delivered from and how much your behavior can change if you just find out how to think through something? A lot of times, after people have been in Victory Church for a while, they start to understand how we work. For a while, they don't. And so it requires some grace there. But after a while, they begin to understand how we're set up, how we work, what we honor, who we honor, what we don't, all these things. And once they get it, then they're good. Because they came into our kingdom and saw how it worked. I was told you this story before, but we were down in Columbus with Miss Rachel and Mr. Tommy's place, and Pastor John's walking fast ahead of me and Deb, and me and Ann and Deb are trying to catch up with him, and he's moving fast, and we're going in to meet T.L. Osborne. What a blessing. I almost said it like him. Wow. And so I brought up something. I was the assistant pastor, and I brought up some kind of business thing while we're walking in, and I wanted to know about something. It was something dumb. It was something about insurance or something, and Pastor John wheeled around and looked at me, and he said, "I don't know." And he took off walking, and I went, "Yep, you just blew it right there." That's not what to do at that moment. I started coming into his world. And I stopped asking him questions that the answer somebody else in the church was supposed to do. That's their department, not his. But he showed me right then and there with those three words that I didn't really understand yet how to function within that kingdom. That's what God wants to do with us. He wants to say, look, this is what works. So you do know the basis. You know seed time and harvest. You know faith. You know love. You know all these things. But now God's trying to take you to another level and deal with some soul issues. And deal with another part of you so that you can grab hold and see God's perspective of how these things work. Remember how we looked at the Ten Commandments the other day? And they became the Ten Pronouncements because we talked about the fact how, you know, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But when you looked into it and you thought about what God was saying to you, he's saying, hey, I'm the biggest one in the universe and I'm the one with the blessing. So you don't need another God. It's all in the words. But when you look from his perspective, it was totally different. This is what God is doing with us. And trying to bring us into a place where change can happen because we go further into seeing how it all works. Remember how covenant changed your life? Because you saw from God's perspective that he really will never leave you. He really will be there for you. I mean, it changed the whole basis of your faith. So do you pursue God's power and revelation to change the way you think? Something to think about. And this is all about stewarding favor and stewarding the grace and stewarding the relationship. So I guess the other question is are you interested in having a relationship with God? Do you want him to know you? Hello, God. This is Roxy. I'm down in Texas. And I was just wondering, how about if he knows you right when you walk into the room? When you sit in his lap? How about if he's talking to you all day long? How about if you recognize his voice when he's talking to you? How about if he recognizes yours? Because when you find favor, oh, come on, church. When you find favor with Daddy, you have found favor. And when he puts you on assignment, the easiest thing to do is to make it through that assignment because it has already been totally paid for.
Right.
How many times have you walked up to the counter to pay for something and someone said, someone already paid for it? Many times for us, many times. Or that's already been taken care of.
Yeah.
Oh, someone paid for your hotel. We were at the Believers Convention one time and we went to pay out at the end. Well, it was already on the card, but we were going to get our slip, the receipt. And they said, by the way, that's not on there. Someone came in yesterday morning and paid your whole hotel bill. That's how God is. But they had to know my name to pay the bill. They had to know where I was. You're like, well, God knows where I am. Now, see, you're falling back into, you got it, didn't you? You don't go back there. Don't go back to just God's omnipresent. Treat him like a pedestrian thing. He is kinetic,
amen.
But he wants to know you face to face. When you go to heaven, you're going to see Jesus. He's not going to be a twinkly star. He is a man. There's a man in the Godhead. And we were all made in the image of God, Father God. So he must look something like us. Said we're made in his image. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Are you interested in having a relationship with God? Because what we have to do now is when you get to these places and you're working, you're looking at yourself and you're going, okay, let me just have a look here. Why is this rubbing me? Or why do I do that? Or why do I react like that? I mean, we could go back because we learned a long time ago that your emotions will teach you something. If you'll ask why you're reacting like that, right? But we need to take it a step further and make sure we're seeing it from God's perspective, because God can help you come through those things quickly. And you walk in more love, and when you walk in, faith works by love. And so if your love walk gets good, and you're walking in love, and you're walking in wisdom, and you're walking, your steps are ordered of the Lord, it's going to be a lot easier to get to where you're going and receive what you need to receive. Just is. Face to face. Also, in these encounters, they're not just for you. You start getting close to God, and people around you will be influenced and will begin to change.